Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman, the founder of the Kabbalah Lam Association. Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk about secrets, the secrets of life. It's something that we're trying to crack all the time, our whole life, whether we're aware of it or not, the big secrets of life. And we have a feeling that science can help us crack these secrets. And then, benefit our lives, the lives of our children, and everything's going to be great. This is what we want. Yael, please. So, since the official declaration of the development of science around the 1700s, and actually since ever, a person was looking for a way to improve his life and to crack the secret of life. A person has this natural curiosity to find out how things work. And really, with years, technology developed that allowed us more and more to understand how does weather work, how to better arrange the climate in the room we're working the way we like it. And science actually allowed people to more and more control their reality in the way they want it. And the first question we'd like to open with, the development of science throughout the years. There were times when one thing was revealed, at times something else was revealed. What actually caused science to develop throughout the years? What does it depend on? The egoistic desire of a person to better arrange his life? Obviously. A person, he's developing his life all the time. He can't live like animals. And also animals have some kind of an initial science of how to get along better instinctively. But besides instincts, they're looking where yes, where no, where more, where less. They get to know their environment. They remember it. They study it. There is an initial science in animals too, but much more in people. First of all, because of their weakness. We're very weak. We have to dress ourselves, we have to accumulate food, we have to build a home for ourselves. We need plenty of things. We can't beget children like animals do in a very simple, natural way. We really need many systems in order to exist. And we left the animate level for the speaking level by starting to use science, knowledge, when we started researching nature and started understanding that we can use different things in order to benefit, to add forces to ourselves. I take a stick, I use it. A monkey knows how to use it too. But more and more, the big leap was when people started not building things like homes. Animals have that too. But the biggest leap is when we started engaging in agriculture. Agriculture was the big leap because by that we have reached a state that as if we control nature, that we can be independent of the forces of nature. When I go out in the morning to hunt some animal in my jungle in order to eat it with a family, then I'm dependent on will I catch it or not. And here I know that if I plow and saw and then collect the yield, then I have it. I have a certain amount, and then I can build a home next to it, and then I catch some animals. I start feeling that it's worthwhile to have them nearby, that I can get milk from them, I can get eggs and so on. Meaning a person started using nature for his own benefit. No one else has that ability. No other form of life. And then more and more, and his ego grew, and he saw that he can work in his field. But if a few people work in his field, then it will even be better. And as a result, slavery developed, and more, meaning the social form changed. People started buying and selling. And not only that this is clothes and this is shoes and this and this is that, but money came into the picture, into the relations between people. Meaning it is all a development of our ego that is pushing us to use nature more and more. In a more and more, I'd say, bad way. Why bad? Because it's actually the exploitation of the forces of nature by humans. But this is how we develop. These are humans. And every time we acquire knowledge, science, as to how can we better exploit our environment, each one of us in particular, and as a group of people, a nation, a country, and so on, how each one of these bodies, starting with a single individual, a family, a city, a country, can exploit everything else that's outside of them in their own favor. Is there some kind of a special knowledge or revelation that's supposed to be revealed at a certain point? Is there a plan? Of course, it's according to our development. First of all comes the development. 1,000 years ago, we had no inclination towards revealing theories like Einstein or even Newton's laws and nuclear bombs or nuclear energy and so on. The time comes and a person, in accordance with the desire that reveals in him, goes and discovers these things in nature. And what will he discover? He doesn't know. It's all according to the desire that reveals in us. And why are there certain things that we can't discover? Because our ego hasn't grown enough yet in order to discover them. As simple as that. We can discover everything. No problem. The only problem is that the desire did not grow enough yet. Are there many more things to discover? An entire world. And the main thing that we have to add to our world is the governance and providence, the way our world is governed, that in accordance with how much we develop, and on the one hand, all the problems and weapons and bombs that we have, and on the other hand, the knowledge and the ability to provide ourselves with everything we need. On the one hand, all the good, and on the other hand, all the bad, and we have no idea what's going to happen the next moment. On the day that hypothetically we'll know everything, it's a day that our life will be better, we'll be better able to control them, arrange them. Of course, undoubtedly, because the knowledge which comes to us will also arrange our mind and heart. The knowledge about governance and providence called knowing the Creator, knowing the higher force, because it's higher than us, it's the force of nature. Elohim, Hebrew for godliness, in Gematria, in its numerical value, equals nature, meaning it's nature. And we, in order to discover this force and the entire system of its governance, we have to change ourselves. Otherwise, we won't be able to perceive it, to understand it. Do we know anything about what percent of nature do we know to this day? What we know and see in this world, this is what we know from nature. And what is there besides what we know that we don't know? We don't know this force itself that's controlling us. And this is what bitters our life, doesn't let us enjoy life. And we really suffer as a result. Is there something that we needn't know, we shouldn't know? No. On the contrary, we should know as much as possible. But our problem is that the knowledge which we would like to acquire, that knowledge could develop in us, open itself up to us, only on condition that we will be able to discover it. Meaning, we have a problem. Can I take a person that lived 1,000 years ago and to tell him about what's going on today? May it be the smartest person in the world. Suppose Aristotle from 2,000 years ago. Or, you know, great people, brilliant in their times. But if I read what they wrote, they lived in such a primitive way. They thought so primitively about life that there is no small child today that thinks what they thought. Meaning, they can't grasp something that I will explain to them today. From high mathematics, quantum physics, distances, nothing. Why not? Why not? Then I'm asking you. Why did they think that Earth is flat, like this table? Yeah, but today, if Aristotle would come here, where does he come from? From those years? From that level of development? Yes, from the same level of development. What is it about him today that doesn't allow him? He has a small brain? Yes, exactly. An undeveloped brain. Emotionally undeveloped. This is why he belongs to his times. Sure. And in comparison, a small child in our times is more developed. To show you an example, I see it on my kids. Please, you see how developed they are with all these mobiles and things and gadgets and everything. Everything comes to them naturally. We see it. In the past, we couldn't really see it because there was a very small gap between the generations. And today, when I look at my grandchild, I took him on a plane to our relatives in France. He goes into the plane. He's not impressed by it. He sits on his chair. He's being served with different things. Coke and things, he takes it, he looks, yes, this is Earth down below, that's Earth, that's where we live. I looked at how this small child, this small human being, how so naturally, because the first time I flew in a plane, I was, 15, maybe a bit less, 13. For me, it was, wow. Yeah, it was something. And for him, as if it's... And the same with each and everything. So I'm telling you that neither Aristotle nor anyone else could live in any other time, but each in his time. And today, the next generation, suppose your grandchild, my children, today's children are starting to smell that there is something more to life, there is something more to the world that they need to know, but they don't. It's revealed gradually. What prevents us from revealing it? They have to also reveal it, that there are secrets in the universe, in life, in nature, that we, compared to them, stand with our mouth open, but can't touch them. Like that Aristotle, if you take him into our times, this is how we stand facing nature. When we start feeling that there is something here, a limit, some kind of a potential, you know, that I can't cross. Science can cross it? No. Science is merely who we are. The science of my grandchildren, of your... No. No. They'll feel that they can't cross it, surpass it. They'll understand that in order to surpass it, and that they're... First of all, they're obligated to surpass it by the development of nature, because otherwise they'll feel bad because their life won't satisfy them. But they'll be able to surpass it only on condition that they will change, that they will have to grasp some new brain, some new feeling, like Aristotle, that will have to make a leap into our times, and then he'll understand our life. And this will allow them to develop different scientific tools with the help of which they will be able to discover those secrets. Yes. But these tools, these are tools that, in order to develop them, they will have themselves to be different people. They'll have to rise above their narrow ego. They will have to change themselves to be open to the whole world. They will have to, as if, come out of their body, of their ego, of their narrow perspective, and see the world as integral. And that's the main problem, that in order to discover the right world, right? I have to see it in a way that it is completely round, that everything is interconnected. And in order to discover that, I myself will have to have an inclination towards that, a tendency towards it, so I'll maybe have to do different exercises in order to be in that state. What my brain has to grow, what has to happen? It has to change. It has to stop being personal, narrow, individual, doing calculations only for myself, but it has to be integral for all of humanity, for the whole world, for all of reality. When I look at the whole of reality as my own, and this is how I relate to everything. What does that future scientist research, which you're describing now? He researches the whole of reality. Then he can research the whole of reality. We have reached the end of the narrow individualistic development where we could advance in it to this day, suppose, till our times, and we ran into a wall. And from here on, we have to discover a reality which is not on an individualistic particular level, but that it is on a general, integral, unanimous level. What will they research? They will research the connection between the different parts of reality, the connections, that being the gist matter. If today I discover what's the connection between this and that, in a small, limited manner, because my brain is limited, because I don't see the whole world complete, encompassed, closed, then according to the new information or science, I will discover that everything is interconnected. But how will I discover it? That I myself will become that, that my mind and heart will be integral this way. I have to make myself like Aristotle. I have to make myself into a modern person that matches this perception of reality. Supermodern, yes. And here, the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed in our times because it gives us the ability to make these big changes. The essence of it being what? The essence of it being changing my perception, seeing everyone as one system, the whole world as one general system. If I want to know about the higher force, the higher providence, how our world's working, and I see that the world is completely interconnected in all its parts, then I, myself, have to have those same qualities, and then I can discover the world this way. What qualities are you talking about? Integral qualities, general qualities. Or to put it in another way, how can I relate to the world this way on condition that I love everyone? Then I start thinking about everyone together. So I start caring for everyone together, and then I look at everyone as one system, that it's mine, and that it depends on me, and I depend on everyone. Meaning, in our words, in our feelings, this attitude towards the entire world as an integral world is expressed in the words of love another as thyself. So the new scientist will be a loving person, first and foremost, for lack of any other options. In order to discover this higher world, this integral system, I will have to come to everyone according to the words of love another as thyself. And then, to the extent to which I acquire that quality upon my ego, opposite to it, then I acquire the ability to discover such connections between all of the parts of reality and such laws. So it's the ego that limits me today? Yes, only. And then, to the extent to which I change the ego, I suddenly start perceiving, grasping myself on a completely different level of existence. And this is an eternal and complete existence, because I'm in a system where everything's connected to everyone and everyone's living together in mutuality and in an endless kind of inclusion. And then I acquire an eternal life. This force that you said that changes a person, that turns him into a super scientist where he sees all of these connections, you say that it's eventually the force of love. It's not the love that we know. Our love is, in order for me to fill myself, at your expense or at his expense, meaning that my love is self-love. And here, it's as if expressed in love for others, but also it's not in love of others, because today love of others is egoistic as well. But to feel that all of reality is one mechanism, one system, and you and everyone are the same. You as if are extending yourself beyond yourself, and therefore I start feeling an eternal, whole, and complete life. So my inner feelings as a person, as a researcher, will really be completely different, you're saying? Completely. Entirely. First of all, you feel eternity, completeness, perfection, the system itself, the way it operates. That's called the Ziva Shechina, the radiance of divinity, how this whole and complete force fulfills all of reality, and how reality enjoys as if bathes in this whole and perfect force, and it's all one. There's no better feeling than the feeling of perfection. My personal extension as a person, as a researcher, will also help me to extend my perception of the world. Yes, that is that new research, new scientist you're talking about. Suppose, what secrets, we talked about secrets that in nature there are secrets that we didn't discover yet. What secrets are there? These are secrets that aren't mechanical secrets like we discovered through science, that you can know them, you can not know them. The secrets that we discover in discovering the higher nature, what is the higher nature? Governance and providence, a force that controls our entire life, our entire universe, ourselves. So what secrets are there there? The secrets are actually, why does it exist? What does it exist for? How is our reality, limited, small reality, built in this universe, on Earth, and so on? And how is the reality of that force on an unlimited or in an unlimited dimension exists. It's not that we discover the distances there are in the universe. We're entering a new reality as if we're not doing a time leap or a space leap, but we're entering a new dimension. We're in this new dimension, there is a completely different existence. And all of us have to start advancing towards it and ascribing ourselves to it. And really, only in approaching that, we start discovering that it exists, that it's adapted for us, how we are truly intended for it, and how all of us have to enter it. And all of our bodies that live and die aren't a part of it. There is an eternal point in us, and that point enters the eternal dimension, and there we keep on existing according to the laws of that world. How does the love that you previously mentioned, what does it have to do with this whole story? If I'll have love towards others, then it will open secrets that today... Sure, you live in a completely different reality. It's completely different rules, different attitude, different mind and heart. You're not living according to your body. You live in your body as long as it lives, and then it dies, but you no longer ascribe yourself with that body. It's like an animal that lives next to you. Truly so, because you're awareness, your knowledge, your feelings and mind, they're the ones that are upgraded and enter the new dimension. This upgrade, what is it? It's about entering a whole and complete and perfect world. And how do I get in? For you to really want it. So you can want it either, for example, like through these talks that we have, or through blows that people will undergo. But one way or another, all of us will have to reach this higher dimension. Our time's almost up. What is the great secret of life that we did not discover yet? That there is truly an entrance into a different life, and our life is only a preparation for it. Very interesting. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.